Well, we'll come back to those words in 1 Corinthians 15. If you have a Bible, you might like to turn there once more. Now, the other day, I came across this. What's that, I hear you ask? Well, I can't hear you ask it, but I'll answer anyway. This is an interview I did with my grandmother when I was in primary school. We had a project where we had to go and interview our grandparents about their early memories of childhood. And this is the interview that I typed up on a typewriter. They didn't have computers back in my day. And asking her questions about what she remembered about events like the Great Depression, the abdication, and then the beginning of World War II. And this is what she said about the beginning of World War II. Rationing was very severe. The weekly allowance per person was 1 ounce of cooking fat, 2 ounces of margarine, 2 ounces of butter, 4 ounces of jam or marmalade, 1 shilling 2 pence worth of meat, and so it goes on. I won't read the whole list. But it did strike me when I reread that interview that it's possible in years to come, if I live to have grandchildren, that I may have a child come to me as part of a primary school project saying, "Grandad, Grandad, what do you remember about the great COVID crisis of 2020? Because although it still seems a bit surreal, perhaps, to many of us, I think we're starting to realise as a country that these are very odd times, that these are very exceptional times, that we're experiencing things at the moment that some of us never expected to experience, and that some of you who perhaps lived through part of the Second World War thought you would never experience again, where we see the supermarket shortages and all of the rationing that's being imposed by them, schools being closed potentially for months, exams being cancelled, sports events being suspended, restaurants and cafes being shut or just operating a takeaway service, churches not being able to have normal services, and thousands upon thousands of Mother's Day plans being cancelled, people in some cases not even being able to see their older relatives. It's a challenging time, isn't it? It's a challenging time that we're in at the moment. A challenging time where we're going to need some help to get through the next few months or however this goes on. We're going to need some help. And I hope that today, together, we can find some help from the Word of God and some help from these words that God speaks to us through the Apostle Paul. And one of the reasons I wanted to continue with this look through 1 Corinthians 15 as a church is because of something about the Apostle Paul. That the Apostle Paul, at points, intentionally chose a lifestyle that in many ways was more harsh than what we're experiencing at the moment. At points he intentionally chose a lifestyle more harsh than what we're experiencing at the moment. Let me explain what I mean. Here's what he writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 11, where he talks about how 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, for a night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. It's quite a list, isn't it, of things Paul experienced in the course of his mission of telling people the good news about Jesus. It's the kind of difficulties he mentions in the verses we read earlier, where he says to the Corinthians, well, why am I in danger every hour? That danger that he faced in the course of his mission to tell people about Jesus. In verse 32, what do I gain if I fought with beasts at Ephesus? I don't think he actually fought with wild beasts. It's a metaphor for the seriousness of the opposition he faced. It's like being thrown into the arena to face the wild beasts. And with all of that, Paul kept going, and he chose to continue in that mission that led him into such challenging circumstances. You have to ask, why? Why did he do that? How did he do it? How did he keep going? And I hope that today, as we think a bit about that question, as we think about what helped Paul to keep pressing on in these challenging circumstances, that we'll find help for ourselves as we want to keep pressing on in our own challenging circumstances. Quite different from Paul in many ways, but still times of hardship and lack. So why? Why did Paul keep going? How did he keep going? I'll answer that question first. And if you like short answers, the short answer is resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and the future resurrection of his people. And that's why he mentions it here in these verses in this chapter. That the whole point of this chapter is to show us that the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the first fruits guaranteeing the resurrection of his people in the future, well, that changes everything. It changes everything. And in verse 30, when he talks about why am I in danger every hour, he means, well, if Christ has not been raised, why would I put myself in that position of danger? The only reason it makes sense is because Christ has been raised. The only reason it makes sense to approach the wild beasts of Ephesus is because Christ has been raised. The resurrection of Christ that provides that motivation and strength for so much of his ministry. And we could think, for example, of his letter to the Philippians in chapter 3, where he talks about pressing on, and he says, to remind us, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body, that resurrection hope when Jesus returns that kept Paul pressing on and can keep us going too. We can get a bit more specific than that, than just that word resurrection, which is exciting in itself, by looking at a few things that we read earlier in this chapter that will be familiar for those of you who've been able to join us over the last few Sundays. Some things that he said that show why the resurrection makes it worth facing the wild beasts of Ephesus. Three things. First, it's because the resurrection of Christ means that Paul's preaching is not in vain. His message is not in vain. In verse 14, Paul says these words, "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain." If Christ has not been raised, if he just died and that was it, then the good news that Paul is sharing is a waste of time. But if Christ has been raised, well, things are very different. And Paul could keep going in his mission, even in the face of hardship and opposition, because he knew that he had real good news, real important news to share, because Christ had been raised. Good news about new life, about real life, about endless life. Life that we don't deserve because of how we've lived, because of our attitude towards God, the God who is the source of all of the life that we enjoy now, all of the good things we have in this world. It all comes to him, comes from him. But we don't give this God who made us the respect that we should do. We don't honour him as we should do. We don't live the life that he's told us to. That attitude that the Bible calls sin. We like to go our own way, away from the God who gives us life. It's what we deserve. It's the opposite of life. We deserve death. An endless death. But the Bible gives us this good news that Paul was sharing about a Saviour, God the Son, come down from heaven to earth, who lived that perfect life we failed to, then died on a cross for our sins, and was raised from the dead to show that that work of dying for our sins was complete, that we can have forgiveness, we can be put right with the God who made us, we can have real life, new life, life that will not end. That's the good news that Paul knew he had, that he shared. Good news that was worth sharing, even if it meant facing the beasts in Ephesus. The resurrection of Christ, that meant his preaching is not in vain. But the second thing, that resurrection that meant his faith was not in vain. Again, in verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is in vain. But again, the opposite is true. If Christ has been raised, then our faith is not in vain. It's not empty, it's not futile. But it's a living relationship and a living Saviour. It's real. And as Paul continued to trust in that living Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that real trust in a real Saviour, so he could know that whatever he gave up to follow that Saviour, well, nothing could disrupt that relationship he had with Christ. And even if he had to give up everything at points, or even if it felt like he had to give up everything, well, all of those things still didn't compare to what he calls the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because he knew his faith was not in vain, but a part of a living relationship and a living Saviour, so he could keep going, knowing that Saviour was with him. The resurrection of Christ, that meant that Paul's preaching was not in vain, his faith was not in vain, and his hope was not in vain as well. In verse 18, in that part where he's imagining what it would be like if the resurrection had not happened, he says, well, if Christ has not been raised, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then death is the end for those who have died in Christ. That's it. There's nothing afterwards, or at least nothing of any real substance. That's it. But Christ has been raised. So we do have real hope that death does not have the final say. It didn't have the final say with Christ. It won't have the final say with Christ's people, that we can await a Saviour from heaven who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. That Paul could keep going through all of this hardship because he knew that this now is not all there is. He could see the bigger perspective. That bigger perspective of all of history moving towards that final moment of victory where death would be destroyed forever and Christ's people would be with him in glorious resurrected bodies forever. Paul knew his hope was not in vain. He had a real hope. He could see that eternal perspective. He didn't need to be so obsessed with just the things of today, but could keep pressing on even when those things were taken away. The resurrection of Christ. That's what kept Paul pressing on, even in the face of those challenges we read about. That Paul knew he was so full in Christ. He knew all those riches he had in Christ, that abundance he knew in Christ, of that relationship with God, that new life, that hope for eternity. And because he was so full in Christ, so he was willing to pour himself out for others by continuing in that work of telling people that good news about Jesus, even if it meant suffering that hardship. The resurrection of Christ, Paul knew because of that he was very rich in Christ, full in Christ, willing to pour himself out for others. So that's why Paul kept going. That's how Paul kept going. What does that have to do with us? What can we learn from Paul for our own very different situation? Because we're not facing the wild beasts of Ephesus. The government response to coronavirus hasn't stretched to unleashing the wild beasts of Ephesus yet. But I think this situation does force us to ask the question, what do we fill our lives with? What do we fill our lives with? I'm very struck by how Paul describes how he would live if there was no resurrection. If there was no resurrection, he says in verse 32, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If the dead are not raised, and if Christ has not been raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That's the perspective that would make sense if there was no resurrection, if death was the end. Well, we make the most of the food and the drink we can see around us now. We fill our lives with that. Then at some point death comes. There's nothing more. There's no more meaning, there's no more purpose than that. So let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. It's an approach to life that many of us instinctively follow, even if we may not put it quite so bleakly. That we fill our lives with as much entertainment and money and achievements as we can, because that's all there is, so we think. We fill our lives with all of this stuff, this entertainment, this money, these achievements. Let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But that doesn't leave us with much when the COVID crisis comes and our travel plans are disrupted and the sports stadiums are shut and our investments shrink and our exams are cancelled and the supermarket shelves and cupboards are empty. With all of the restrictions and the rationing and the changes that we are making, even our relationships, life at the moment could feel very empty. Very empty. Not just in the sense of having less stuff or less opportunities, less contact with people, but less empty in terms of meaning and purpose. What's the point of it all now? And when even our health is at risk, we should make us reflect on what we fill our lives with. If we say, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die, where does that get us? When our travel plans are disrupted and our shelves are empty and the stadiums are shut. What do we fill our lives with? The Apostle Paul shows us a different way, a better way, not a let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die, a way focused on the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, an approach to life that's not based around eating and drinking and being merry. Although he did those things, he did eat and he drank, and he had times of being merry, that he knew what it was to celebrate the good things that God has given us in this world. He knew all of that. But his life wasn't focused on just filling his life with those things. His focus was a life that was full of the risen Christ, knowing that fullness that we have in Christ. There is no Jesus Christ who gives us that reassurance that even if other things are taken away, even if other things are not what they once were, the risen Christ gives us that reassurance that our preaching and the message we've received is not in vain. Our faith is not in vain. Our hope is not in vain. that if we're in COVID quarantine, we can remember that the preaching we've heard is not in vain, that whatever else is going on around us, whatever uncertainty there is in the world, that we can know that message about sins forgiven in Christ, that's still true. We can still find security there. We can still find security in that new life we have in Christ. And if we're in COVID quarantine, we can still remember that our faith is not in vain, but that we continue to have a living relationship with a living Saviour, who, having died for us, is not now going to leave us to kind of muddle through and try and work it out ourselves, but is still with us and at work for good. And if we're in COVID quarantine, we can remember the risen Christ and remember that our hope is not in vain, that we do have a certain hope of endless life. Whatever happens now, whatever we go through now, we can have that eternal perspective that there's more than just this. There's more than just the empty shelves and the closed stadiums and the shrinking investments. We're part of this story as God's people, leading towards that eternity of eating and drinking in the presence of God forever. If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die, says Paul. If the dead are not raised, things at the moment could feel very empty. But that hope that for Paul made it worth facing the wild beasts of Ephesus, well, that hope reminds us that even when everything else is scarce, that life in Christ is still very rich, even when other things might be empty, we can still be full in Christ. The question that our current situation should prompt us to ask is, what do we fill our lives with? Do we have lives full of Christ? An important question for all of us is, do we know this Christ? Do we know this Christ who died and was raised from the dead? Do we know him? We're going through challenging times and there's still more to come, so we're told. And we don't know exactly what tomorrow will bring. And I don't know how I would face this situation at the moment if I didn't know the risen Christ, to be left to myself to try and muddle through, to think about the panic and the worry that would fill my mind. But into that panic and worry, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks, calling us to come to him. To come to him, admitting that we've made a mistake, we've got it wrong, by going away from the God who made us and trying to do things ourselves. To come, in other words, confessing our sin, admitting that we have sinned, asking the risen Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us, to put us right with God, to give us this new life and this new hope for the future. To come to Christ. As we come to him, he won't necessarily take away all of the challenges of COVID-19. We may still have some very serious challenges, whether with our health or our mental state or our physical situation or our finances. Those challenges may remain, but we'll go through those challenges with new life, a new relationship with our Saviour in heaven, and with new hope, not just a short-term thing for tomorrow, but forever. Do you know this risen Christ who Paul knew? This risen Christ who changes everything, that gives us the strength to keep going even in hard times? If not, come to him. If you don't know how to come to him, or you still have questions, then we'll put our contact details at the end of this video. You can get in touch with us and we'd love to chat more to you about that. And it may be that you still need to come to Christ, even if you've been coming to church regularly. There's this moment where we can no longer come to church services as we used to. Maybe we have that as a habit. Maybe this is a moment to ask ourselves, is there anything more to my Christianity than that habit? Is there anything more to my Christianity than going to church? Do I have this real faith in a real Saviour? Have I seen this risen Christ and the joy and hope that's found in him? You may have been coming to church in this building, even for many years, but haven't actually come to Christ. Again, now would be a good time to get in touch with us and to work through those questions, to trust in Christ. For those of us who do know this risen Lord Jesus Christ, who do know what it means to follow him, imagine that scene. That scene where in a few years' time, or however many years' time, someone comes to you and says, "What did you do? What did you do in the great COVID crisis of 2020? What will you say? When people come, in years to come, when my grandchildren come and say, "What did you do?" What will I say? Because the whole point of this section in this chapter is that what we believe should shape our lives now. That's what Paul is talking about in all of the verses that we haven't looked at today, where he talks about being baptized on behalf of the dead. We won't go too much into that now, but we don't know exactly what that was, and we don't really need to know. If we needed to know, God would tell us. But it seems that there were people in Corinth who were being baptized on behalf of Christians who had died without being baptized. That's one possibility, which is a pointless thing to do if you don't believe that the dead are raised. What's the point of it all? Now, Paul isn't saying that they should be baptizing on behalf of the dead. He's saying there needs to be this consistency between what you believe and what you do. That consistency that he shows in his own life, as he's willing to face those wild beasts of Ephesus. That consistency that we should show in verse 33 in the company we keep and the company that we are with others. That consistency that leads Paul in verse 34 to say, "Wake up. Wake up and realize the truth about the risen Christ and don't go on sinning. Realize the truth about Christ and seek to follow him." There should be this consistency between what we believe and how we live. So again, that question, what will we say when people say, "What did you do in the COVID crisis of 2020? Let's be praying as Christ's people that we would be those who can say, "Well, we trusted Christ. We kept trusting Christ. It was hard. There were challenges. We kept trusting in the risen Christ who gives us that fullness of life that we can't find anywhere else. We kept trusting him through all of those challenges and all of those uncertainties." And let's pray that we'll be those who will say, "Well, we kept remembering our future hope. We didn't know what tomorrow would bring, but we remembered that eternal perspective, that eternity, eating and drinking in the presence of God. We kept remembering that hope, and we kept pressing on." And let's be praying as Christ's people that we would be those who can say, "Well, we poured ourselves out for others. We sought to serve others. We knew how much we had in Christ, how full we were in him. So we kept looking to him and pouring ourselves out like Paul in service of others. Whatever form that service takes, the phone calls, keeping in touch with people, if we're allowed to leave the house going on errands for our neighbours or our friends or family, or that fundamental work of praying for each other, some of us will have a lot more time to pray in the coming weeks. May we be people who take that opportunity to serve others and serve our community in prayer. in years to come, when people say, what did you do in the COVID crisis of 2020? What will my answer be? What will your answer be? May we all have answers that are full of the risen Christ. Let's pray once more. Oh, Father God, we praise you for that life and that hope we can have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the fullness that we have in him, even when shelves may be empty and schedules may be changed and investments may shrink. We ask that you would lift our eyes up even today to see him risen and seated at your right hand, and you'd strengthen us to keep trusting him, to keep remembering that hope that we have, to keep remembering all that we have in him when everything else is so uncertain, and that you strengthen us to keep serving others, to looking to the interests of others, to live and work for the good of the church, the people in it, for our communities and our world, for the honour and glory of our Lord Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Well, thank you for joining us today, wherever you are, wherever you've been. It's good to come together, even though we can't come together in person, to remember the risen Lord Jesus Christ and what it looks like to live for him in these challenging times. And it may be that some of you, what I've said is new to you, and you want to find out more, and our contact details are going to come up at the end of this video. Please get in touch. And if you're listening to this and you've got some kind of needs, whether they're practical needs or you just want someone to chat to, we've got people in the church ready to help you with those things, so please get in touch. We're planning to do a video like this, or maybe a bit different, every Sunday. So it'd be good to not see you, but for you to see me again next Sunday, about the same time. It'll be uploaded again onto YouTube. And if you go to our website, you'll also find a copy of this video with some questions to help you reflect on what we've heard and some other passages that you can look up and read in your own time. And those would be good things not just to reflect on yourself, but maybe to get in touch with someone else that you know if you're part of the church here, and to share together what we've been learning from God's word. And if you're watching this and you're a family with children at home, then our youth worker Caroline has been working on some things for children and young people. And if you're part of the church, you'll hear about that anyway. But if you're not, whoever you are, wherever you are, if you get in touch, we will have some resources for you. So thank you for joining us.